evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, Managing Editor of ReaderViews in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Victor Volkman from Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's April 17th, 2008, and welcome to episode number 61 in our series. Tonight's topic is producing and selling audiobooks, and our special guest who will be joining us this hour is Toby Heidel. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Please send your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Toby Heidel is a featurist with Red Planet Audiobooks. Red Planet produces and distributes audiobooks for independent authors and small publishers. Toby is in charge of long-range planning for the company, implementing new technologies, and responding to developing trends in the audiobook industry. In addition to his work with Red Planet, Toby has a solid background in spoken word entertainment as the longtime executive director for the Violet Crown Radio Players, a radio drama recreation troupe based in Austin, Texas. Good evening, Toby.
Good evening.
Hi, Toby. It's great to have you. It was really neat to meet you a couple months ago, and just got really excited about the company that you have just recently started, and I like the word spoken word industry. That has a special ring to it because it really, that's exactly what it is, isn't it, that what you do. But before we go into that, as Victor was introducing you, he introduced you as a futurist. And
yes.
I want to talk more about that. What are you as a futurist?
A futurist, that's a very good question. That is my title with the company. And essentially, a futurist looks at long-term trends. My job mostly consists of trying to determine the direction that technology is going to take, that the industry as a whole is going to take, so that we can respond to those trends early on before they become fully developed. And as such, we can offer our response as a company to those trends before other companies do, and we can sort of stay ahead of the curve. So that's essentially what I do, long-range, long-term planning with an emphasis on technology and developing trends.
Well, obviously then, being that you started Red Planet Audiobooks, you have seen that there is going to be a long-term trend in audiobooks.
Absolutely. I completely believe that and wholeheartedly believe that is the case. Audiobooks are a huge growth industry over the last few years with the rise mostly of MP3 players. The iPod is a huge determinant in that development, along with other MP3 players. Just the proliferation of audio available to people almost all the time whenever they want it. That wasn't the case in the past, just basically due to technology, due to the fact that any sort of portable media was bulkier, larger, harder to get around. But with MP3 players, everybody can have music and or spoken word audio with them just about any time.
No kidding. I've got this little MP3 player, and it's just a tiny little thing. And I reflect back to when I used to have to drive to work for 45 minutes, and I'd go to the library and get books on tape, and these would be cassette tapes. Well, my goodness, like you say, the industry and the technology has grown so much since then. And it seems that for a while there was sort of, you know, we had a lot of stores that had books on tape, and then they just sort of disappeared, and all of a sudden what you're doing is starting to emerge. And why do you think that is? It's not only because of the MP3 players, but why are people so much more into the music and listening to audios? Why do you think this is happening?
Well, I think that the interest has probably always been there. Again, the means to make it happen just hasn't been. And what I mean by that is not only do you have MP3 players coming to the fore, you also kind of have a shift in the way, because of those personal music players, you have a shift in the way that music and spoken word audio are distributed. And what I mean by that is simply things are going digital. You can obviously go online. You can download any audiobook that you can imagine somewhere online. Almost all of the audiobooks that are being published in physical format are now also being published in digital format. And with the ability to very easily and cheaply get those things, your music collection grows, your spoken word audio collection grows, your audiobook collection grows, because it takes a whole lot less physical space, a whole lot less effort and energy to compile a huge library.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk for a minute about the format. I was on a 2,000-mile road trip a couple of weeks ago, and I noticed the truck stops had a lot of audio books in the form of multi-CD sets. Is this like an older trend that's going away? Is everything going to download, or what's the direction?
Well, I think that the CD format will certainly be around for quite some time, and that's mostly because everybody has a CD player. It's a sort of a ubiquitous format.
Yeah.
You have CD players in your car, you have a CD player at your house, you have a CD player available just about anywhere you go. So I don't think that CDs are going anywhere anytime soon, but the driving force certainly behind the industry is that format shift to digital. And interestingly enough, you mentioned cassette tapes earlier, and this is a topic that at some point this evening I kind of like to talk about, is that, interestingly enough, there are still a significant percentage of audiobooks that are still published on cassette tape.
Oh, really?
Something like 16% of audiobooks are still published on cassette tape. That number is a little bit old. It's a few years out of date, but it's still is somewhat of a viable number. There are still a significant number of audiobook titles still published on cassette. The majority of them are children's books. The big audiobook manufacturers have been very slow to transfer all of their energy over to CDs, especially in the children's book market. So to think that CDs are going to completely go away anytime soon, probably not going to happen when you consider that there are those in the industry who are still doing stuff on cassette tape, which is, in my estimation, a big mistake and sort of a problem with the bigger, longer-term, older players in the industry, is that sort of very traditional thinking.
Yeah, I bought my first MP3 CD player, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. I would have expected that they would have taken off by now. I guess they must be more expensive or less reliable or something. Yeah, you can buy a boombox.
Right.
If you put in a CD full of MP3s, you can get 25 hours worth of talking
sure.
in there. It seems like an obvious route.
Yeah, I think that format, it is very interesting to me that format has not taken off, and it has not done nearly as well as I think a lot of people in the industry expected. And I'm not 100% sure why that is. I think part of it might be that if you're willing to go so far as to collect MP3s and use MP3s, then you're going to go so far as to actually put them on a hard drive or put them on media like that, as opposed to storing them on a CD, simply because the price of storage has gone down so much that it's just as cheap and just as easy to put things on a thumb drive, you know, a little flash drive, or in your MP3 player, because the storage capacities have gone through the roof in recent years. So I think it's a format that maybe was viable for a brief period of time, but just sort of got supplanted by hard drive based players.
That's a very good point. All right, I wanted to ask you for a minute. I guess one of the big myths of audiobooks, I sure hope it's a myth, is that they're too expensive for the small publisher to have produced for them. Tell us about the costs and what goes into the quality versus cost equation.
Sure. Audiobooks are I believe that is a myth. That's a long-term myth that's sort of been in the industry, is that audiobooks are very expensive to produce, that they're very expensive to distribute. And we're finding that to be completely untrue. Part of that, I think, is the changes that are occurring in manufacturing processes. Certainly for physical media, it's a whole lot cheaper to manufacture shorter runs of CD-based audiobooks. Also, if you're going to distribute audiobooks digitally, obviously you don't have that overhead associated with the cost of the CD, the cost of the physical media, so that cost goes away. And production costs have gone down significantly as well. It used to be that you had to have reel-to-reel tape machine, You had to have microphones that were extremely expensive to get a good result. You had to have voice talent laying things down for directors and editors that would take that information and again, put it on multi-thousand-dollar machines to edit it down to something to give you a professional result. Whereas that's no longer the case anymore. With the increases in or the proliferation of personal computers and the processor speed and the things that have occurred the last few years with computing power, it's really not very expensive to put together a very good studio. It's much easier for a smaller audiobook producer or a smaller publishing company to get into audiobook publication.
Well, great. That's really good news. Okay, let's suppose I've got maybe a studio rented, or anyway, the voice talent has done their work. What's my next step? How do I take these MP3s and plug them into a distribution network to get some sales?
Well, that's one of the processes that, again, is changing very quickly. It used to be, and all of these changes kind of mirror what's gone on in publishing the last few years for the self-published authors and for the small presses out there. And that is, you have the print-on-demand sort of business model that's coming to the forefront that is now becoming possible with audiobook distribution. And in addition, we keep talking about digital distribution as well, you're able to distribute through audible.com, or if you have an e-commerce website, it's very easy to distribute those things yourself via downloadable formats and things like that through your own website. So the distribution model that's in place is much like publishing. The sort of traditional model still exists. It's still out there. That kind of model, when you're using, you know, big distribution companies and middlemen to do all this sort of thing that take their little piece of the pie, that model still exists. It's still available. But it's something that I personally think the industry is trending away from, more towards smaller publishers distributing their own work, more towards smaller consolidators who are, you know, getting different publishing companies together. So again, sort of this trend away from the big giant umbrella corporation that takes its piece of every little takes a bite of every piece of the pie, and more towards these smaller niche publishers that have the ability to kind of distribute digitally or distribute cheaply themselves.
Yeah. You know, what just struck me, Toby, while you were talking is that there's similarities to this in the ebook business. Can you compare and contrast how they compare product-wise?
Sure. It is very similar to what's going on with ebooks. And again, it's this kind of the rise of the small publisher, the rise in collective power that small publishers have and niche publications have. You have the same, as you said, you have the same thing going on in ebook publication. It's much easier and cheaper than it ever has been for a small publisher or an independent author to get their information out there. So ebooks and audiobooks are headed in much the same direction. You have things like with ebooks, obviously the Kindle is coming out. Amazon came out with a Kindle, which is their ebook reader. There are lots of ebook readers coming onto the market. There's not really a standard format yet, but it's a very wide open industry. And that's sort of how I see audiobook and spoken word right now. It's a very wide open industry. I even think that ebook producers are a little bit farther along, and there are a few more people who are starting to really realize the potential of ebooks out there, whereas with audiobooks, I think that hasn't quite happened yet. I think.
Yeah, I got another follow-up question. You know, I'm kind of thinking back to the days, if you can remember that far, before the internet, and we all used these things like CompuServe, where we had to pay for everything. And then when the internet came along, more and more of the content started to become, you know, free of charge, and that's pretty much following the same route with the thousands and thousands of podcasts out there, including the one that we're talking on right now. So it seems like it might be a little scary to invest, you know, money in a product when the marketplace is starting to get the opinion that everything should be free. I mean, that's a pretty hard opinion to substantiate, but just give me your thoughts on that.
You bet. It's definitely a concern, and you're absolutely right, in that content, the value that people place on content monetarily is definitely going down. However, I think, again, that the changes in the industry, there will always be the desire for content out there, and you just have to figure out how do you monetize that?
Yeah.
Is it through advertising? For instance, some audiobook or some podcasts obviously have sponsors, corporate sponsors, different advertising on the podcast. There are people who have successfully published their audiobooks via podcast, which is a free format. People download the book for free. If the book is good enough, it comes out serially. People get hooked. They like the book. You can append it with an ad at the beginning and an ad at the end. People are willing to download it for free and listen to it, and advertisers are willing to pay because you've got a good product that people are downloading. So I think that any time you produce something that has an audience, then there are going to be ways that you can make money at it. And it may not be traditional ways. It may not be the ways that the money has always been made, but there will always be opportunities there for those content producers to make money somehow. They just have to be smart and innovative about it. And that's sort of a recurring theme, I think, in the industry, is that innovation is very important. That if you try to use old, standard, long-time business models when there are these big sea changes happening in the industry, you're not going to be successful. But if you're willing to innovate, if you're willing to look at things with fresh eyes and in different ways, then there are lots and lots of opportunities out there.
You know, that's so true, Toby, and some of the old diehards just don't want to change, but, you know, we just have to, don't we? And so what I want to do is just sort of take a shift here, and, okay, I'm an author. I have a book. I'm going to put it on, you know, create it as an audio book. So would you give me the process of what I need to do to get this? Let's say if I come to your company, what is going to happen?
Sure. Red Planet Audiobooks, again, we do exactly that. We focus on self-published authors. We focus on small publishing companies. Essentially, you would submit a manuscript, and a company like ours would look it over, decide if it's something that we'd like to pursue. We respond. We say, yeah, we think your manuscript is great. We want to continue. How we work things at our company, we charge a flat production fee based on the length of the manuscript. So essentially we look at how much is it going to cost us to actually produce this manuscript, pay our directors, pay our editors, pay our voice talent to make this thing come together. So we charge a flat production fee based on the length of the book. And then once that production fee is paid, that's all you'll ever pay. We manufacture the book on demand as it's needed. So once the book is complete, you're happy with the product, everybody's happy, looks great, sounds great. We put the product out there, we distribute it. We still use some of the traditional distribution models because, again, that's what people are used to. That's one of the things they like to see. We also use our own distribution through our website. We use our own website for downloads and physical media. So we distribute it and get that product out there as many places as possible. And then we're able to pay the author a much higher royalty rate than they receive at, say, a traditional Simon & Schuster or something like that, simply because, again, we're not actually manufacturing the product until it's ordered. So it's a print-on-demand method. So we're able to pay more to the author or the rights holder, and we're able to do it much more cheaply overall. And I think that's really the whole trend in the industry, is the sort of niche publications that overall, or rather individually, probably make up much fewer sales, percentage of sales, but overall in the aggregate make up quite a few sales. And sort of, I don't know, are you familiar with the term long tail? Have you ever heard that term before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, long tail is what that business model is, I think, what audiobooks and entertainment in general are sort of trending to. And what that means is kind of fragmentation in industry. In other words, you have a product that maybe it only really has 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 audience members out there that want that product and are willing to pay for it. Well, traditionally, a traditional publisher would say, if you're only ever going to sell 5 or 10,000 of these audiobooks, then we're not going to waste our time and effort going through the whole process of manufacturing them because it's too expensive, and we want to sell in the hundreds of thousands. We want to sell thousands and thousands and thousands of audiobooks, or if you're a TV station, you know, this was back in the days when there were 3 or 5 or 10 or 12 channels. There were very few things, big blockbusters out there in the audio, in audiobooks and publishing and entertainment in general. And those are the things that, the big companies would focus on. Well, a long tail model takes the approach that as the cost of distributing this stuff goes down, as the cost of storing this stuff goes down, you're able to offer a whole lot more overall content. So instead of there, and if you look at TV again, instead of there being 10 or 12 channels, it's 150, it's 200 channels. Well, the audience share for each of those channels goes down, but if you're a niche publisher or you're a niche audiobook publisher and you have a small percentage of the population that's very interested in what you do, you can still get a very good return on your investment by focusing on those small niches, those small fragments of the audience. And where a big publisher or a big entertainment corporation is not interested in going after those very small audiences, a small publisher can make a good living doing so. Niche audiences, niche publishing. And that's sort of that's what long tail means. It means that you have more content overall, but it goes a whole lot farther by focusing a whole bunch of aggregately on, you know, a whole bunch of different small markets instead of one big blockbuster.
Hmm. Well, that's really interesting. I just want to talk about a book that, an audiobook that you recently did for one of the authors that we're working with. And I was very impressed because I want the listening audience to really know about this too. The book had an Asian character in it, and I know that the author tried to get the accent into the Britain word, as we would call it. But when I heard the actual audiobook, it's like it just brought this whole book to a totally different light, because there we are having one character with an Asian accent and one character with an American accent, mm-hmm. and it just gave such a different light to the book. It just made it more real. So I would like you to talk about that, is that the importance of having, you know, the right voices, the right people doing the characters.
Sure. Well, obviously, voice selection and the voice actors are one of the absolute keys of making a successful audiobook. And I think that with all this talk of long-tail models and the ability of small publishers to put together audiobooks that, you know, that certain small niches respond to, the one thing you have to keep in mind is you have to make the product very professional. The product itself has to be great. The audio has to be compelling. And that is key. The key to doing that is having great voice actors. We're very lucky in that we have a very large stable of very good voice actors. And when you're able to do that, you're certainly also able to bring things forward in the text that may not come across as well when you're reading them. And just like you said, if you have characters with accents, this particular piece was billed as a cross-cultural romance. And so when you're reading it, as you say, you get the idea because the character is Asian. She has an accent. But when you're hearing it, it really strikes you that this is a cross-cultural book. And that's the sort of things that audiobooks are able to do sometimes very well, sort of highlight undertones in a text that you may not get if you're just reading it.
Yes, I was just so impressed with that. Now, so these are characters that are in the book. What do you do when there are no characters in the book? It's just, let's say, a self-help book that is just full of content.
Sure.
How do you
Well, obviously, you're looking mostly for a certain type of voice, and depending on the content, that's going to determine the type of voice that that you use. And it's all about timbre. It's all about pitch. Do you want a male? Do you want a female reading it? It's just a matter of experience. It's a matter of picking the right voice for the content. And certainly self-help books and things like that that have only one narrator or one voice throughout the book, there's kind of a misconception, I think, among people that, well, an audience isn't really going to like that. They're going to get bored after a while, especially if you're, if you have a fiction book, they're going to want multiple voices. They're going to want sound effects and music, and they're really going to want to make it a full, rich experience. Well, that's really not necessarily true. In fact, our research has shown, and a lot of industry research has shown, that a lot of people actually prefer just a single narrator. They prefer that one voice talking to them, sort of telling the story, and I think that may just come from somewhere deep inside us as human beings, because we're 10,000 years ago, we were all sitting around a campfire listening to somebody tell a story, and it's sort of the essence of publishing. It's the essence of book writing. It's that just essential storytelling ability, and I think sometimes we really respond to a single voice, a single narrator telling us a great story in just the right kind of voice for that story. So I think that single narrator stuff, whether it be self-help or fiction, can work very well often, and you would think that that may not be the case.
Wow, that's a great answer. Toby, I was just wondering, you know, I do some Kindle conversions for people, and they're always concerned that the Kindle books show up next to the printed books in Amazon. Is it the case that your audiobooks show up in the same places, you know, so they can, I can say, you know, click to buy the Kindle version here, click here to buy the spoken word?
Sure. The titles are going to be the same, so they are going to show up in many of the same places. And that's really been a concern, I think, for some in the industry. There have been some traditional publishers who publish both audiobooks and the physical formats, or rather the printed books. There was a concern early on that, well, if we offer audiobooks and printed books, then we're going to dilute our audience and we're going to fragment our audience. But that really is not necessarily the case. People who love a book sometimes will own, you know, the book on multiple formats. They'll own it on CD, and they'll own the audiobook on CD, and they'll own the physical book. And I'm sure that's probably the case. I'm not as familiar with ebook publishing, but that's probably the case with ebooks as well. Someone tries something out on an ebook, they like it, they want to share it with their friends, well, they're going to buy the physical book as well. So it really is not a factor that, oh, if you offer the audiobook, nobody's going to want to buy the printed version. That's definitely not the case.
Right, yeah. In my Econ 101 class, they probably would have called those complimentary goods.
Exactly.
I'm just wondering where you see the old brick and mortar going. I know Borders a couple weeks ago rolled out a store where you can order up exactly what tracks you want, and they'll burn the CDs while you're drinking your coffee there. Do you see a shift like that for the audiobooks?
I do see a shift like that. I think that traditional brick-and-mortar stores and traditional publishing as a whole is in a whole lot more trouble than they think they are. If you look at the other entertainment industries, because frankly that's what publishing is, it's entertainment for people. I mean, books obviously speak very deeply to people, but so do movies, so does music. So it's the entertainment industry. And if you look at what's going on with music publishing, music distribution, if you look at what's going on with film distribution, those trends translate to publishing and audiobook publishing as well. And I think the companies that try to hold on desperately to those old models are going to be in the same boat that the music publishers and some of the major studios are, they're going to be in the same boat that they are, because they're holding on to these old, outdated models that don't work anymore. And when they continually try to make those models work and force it down people's throats when it's obvious that things have changed and things are different, they're going to have real trouble. And as a result, though, the good news, the flip side to that, is that if you're a self-published author, if you're a small press, there's a huge opportunity because, for instance, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, the Internet existed, but who had ever heard of Google? Nobody. Yeah. But now, obviously, it was a teeny tiny company that had a great idea, was willing to sort of change the way business was done, and they got huge out of it. And I think the same potential exists for publishers and audiobook publishers that respond to those changes and realize that things really are changing, that they look to, not necessarily for particular distribution models or anything, but that they look towards the music industry, that they look towards the entertainment industry as a whole, just to realize that those things are changing and you've just got to figure out how to adapt. You have to figure out what those changes are going to be and you have to respond to them. And it's the small companies, the small publishers, the self-published authors who are going to be in the best position to do that, because the big giant corporations, it takes a long time for them to steer their ship in a new direction.
Amen to that. You know, that's the perfect segue into the next nasty bit, which is digital rights management. What do you see going on with that? And, you know, there's the traditional fear that, oh, people are going to steal my audio book. What's your take on that?
My take on that is that digital rights management is a big, giant mistake. I think that DRM is, again, something that big traditional publishers who are terrified of change shove down people's throats and force them to comply with because they're scared. They're afraid of these new models. They're afraid of changing the way that they do business. Personally, I think that offering your content in the easiest, most readily available format across the board is going to be the way to go, simply because it's your audience. You have to respect your audience. You have to give them the benefit of the doubt. You have to make it easy for them to consume your content. If you put up these roadblocks and you put up these hurdles, they're not going to appreciate it. They're not going to appreciate that, well, I'm losing money if somebody pirates my content. The end consumer doesn't care that someone's going to pirate your content. They just want to listen to an audiobook.
Right.
So I think that you really do your audience a disservice by making them jump through these hoops. And the other flip side of that as well is that, is there going to be piracy? Are there going to be a few people who possibly download your audiobook and listen to it and don't pay for it? Probably, if your name is Stephen King or Dean Koontz. The reality is, if people are pirating your audiobook, they're pirating your content, then you have gotten to the point where your audience is big enough that, frankly, can kind of afford it, at least a little bit. I'm not saying the pirating obviously is good. I'm not saying that it's good for anybody. But if somebody is willing to pirate your content, then 10 more people are willing to buy it.
Yeah, great answer. Toby, I was just wondering, in terms of series, I mean, everybody wants to be the author of a successful book series. Do you have any anecdotes about book series moving to audiobooks and maybe finding, you know, a larger audience as the series rolls on, or maybe any anecdotes about film rights sales as a result of audiobooks?
I don't have any specific examples, but again, I think it all goes back to putting your material out there and making your content available to the widest audience possible. Again, we talked about podcasting earlier. Podcasting is a great way sort of get your message across, because people can sample it, people can try it out for free or very cheaply. Same thing with audiobooks. If your audiobooks are available for download, if they're reasonably priced, it's just another avenue to find your audience. It's another avenue to put yourself out there for as many people to find as possible and as many formats to find as possible. And certainly we've seen self-published authors take off. There's the author who did a series of children's books, Hank the Cowdog. I don't know if you're familiar with him. I can't think of his name offhand. Hmm. But he was doing the same thing with published books. Print books. He was selling them out of the back of his car. They started to get wildly popular. People were buying them like hotcakes. He transitioned seamlessly into sort of traditional publishing, got a huge publishing contract, and has gone on his merry way. I don't know of any examples of that has happened so far with audiobooks, but again, the industry it's a nascent industry. It's so small right now, and those breakthrough authors haven't come forward to sort of take the limelight, but I can tell you that they're coming. In the next 2 to 3 years, you'll definitely see it. You'll see a podcast that becomes wildly popular and sort of makes the transition. You'll see a self-published audiobook or an audiobook published on a small site that makes that transition as well. It's inevitable.
I guess you could say The Secret is probably an example of that. Huh?
Oh, well, there you go.
I just answered my own question.
I hadn't even considered that, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, exactly. And, Toby, there's a question that I have here. Now, you know, print books, there's, we can self-publish, we can go to a subsidy press, or we can get our book printed or published by a traditional publisher. And aside from self-publishing, you know, where you create your own publishing company and so on, but with the audiobooks, now, there's this stigma about going to a subsidy or vanity press, as they're sometimes called, and paying
right.
someone to publish the book, whereas mm-hmm. in traditional, there is no cost to the author. And what
right.
I'm seeing right now with the trend is going that actually the author or whomever is to pay the publisher
mm-hmm.
money to have the audiobook made up. And so I'm just wondering if there's going to be that same stigma that's going to go from, you know, the print books, like,
right.
you know, nobody wants subsidy books, we only want traditional books and so on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is that going to kind of transition over to audiobooks too?
I think that if you work for Simon & Schuster, you certainly hope so. The reason I say that is that I think a lot of that stigma in publishing comes, again, from those traditional players. It's certainly, in their mind, well worth their time to sort of facilitate those kind of opinions. And I think with audiobook publishing, there is certainly the potential for that to happen. I certainly hope that it doesn't happen. I think whether it happens or not, that shift, again, towards smaller companies, smaller audiobook companies, I think that shift is inevitable, much as it has been with publishing, because you look at the number of publishers over the last 10 years in traditional publishing, the number has gone down significantly. The big publishers that are out there are not publishing as much, and yet the number of books that are being published continues to grow and grow and grow. And it's because whether that stigma is perpetuated by the traditional audiobook companies, which are all controlled by the traditional print publishing companies, whether that stigma exists or not, the reality is the marketplace is changing. The fragmentation of the marketplace, that niche marketing, that long tail sort of model is coming to the forefront, and there's really nothing they can do about it except to gnash their teeth and wail and pull their hair out. So I really hope that that stigma doesn't translate over. I really hope that the audiobook industry is changing late enough in the game that the players who are changing it just realize that this is a new model, this is a new way of doing business, but there certainly is that potential.
Yes, I imagine there is, but as you say, you know, with the new model and with everything changing so quickly that we have to really keep up with the trends, we have to be there, and hopefully that stigma doesn't transfer over. You know, one thing go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that one good sign in that area is the fact that podcasts have come and stayed and become very popular, and there's no stigma attached to podcasts at all. And those are sort of, they started out certainly as exactly what we're talking about, micro publishers, essentially, micro audio spoken word publishers. We're out there on the internet who are doing their little radio shows, and those little radio shows became big radio shows that became huge radio shows. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily the podcasts by NPR or CNN that are the most popular in some markets. It's the podcasts by, you know, Keith and the Girl or, these sort of organic content providers who appeared out of nowhere. And the industry has embraced, and there's no stigma at all attached to that sort of thing. And my hope is that with audiobooks and other spoken word segments, that will continue to be the case.
I sure hope so, Toby, and I could see it actually going that way, too. So, and what I'm thinking, too, that audiobooks are just so much more conducive to our hectic lives. I mean, you know, our society is in such a rush, and we're just, like, working long hours, and we're driving miles and miles and, you know, sometimes hours to back and forth to go to work. And
sure.
Where, how ideal is that? To just be able to plug in a CD or have an MP3 and listen, because,
you bet.
You know, we just don't have time to read anymore.
It's absolutely true, and I mean it's rather difficult if you've got your 35-minute commute to work. It's kind of hard to read your book on the way. The other drivers on the road don't tend to like that so much. but you can listen to an audiobook the entire way back. So.
Exactly. And it seems to me that you can get more content in that half an hour of listening than you can half an hour of reading.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, gosh, Toby, this has been so insightful. I'm so glad that you were able to come and talk to us. And at this time, do you have any sort of final thoughts to anybody that's contemplating on having their book, their manuscript, put into an audiobook?
Well, I think my final advice would be just go for it. Again, it's much less expensive than it used to be. It's much more within the realm of possibility for a small publisher or a self-published author to do this now. It's only going to become easier. The marketplace, as we said before, is exploding. The marketplace is huge. The sheer increase in the number of MP3 players out there, it just increases exponentially year by year. And so now is really the perfect time to sort of get in on the ground floor of this huge growth market, this huge growth potential audience that's out there. So it's a perfect time to get into it.
You know, it really, really is. So, Toby, your website address, let's tell our listening audience where they can find you.
You bet. We are online at www.redplanetaudiobooks.com.
That's like red, the color red, planet?
Like the color red, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Like Mars, the Mars. Yeah, the red planet out there. Again, forward thinking, rocket ships, future.
All right, redplanetaudiobooks.com. Thank you again, Toby. This has been really, really great.
You bet. Well, I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Toby. It's been a real education. All right, you've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. We'll be back on the air May 1st, 2008. When our topic will be how to improve your editing skills, and our guest who will be joining us is Ken McLean. You can learn more about all our guests on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. We would love to hear from you about tonight's show. Please send your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson saying good night, and I'm glad you were here to listen to us.
The Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.